This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our civics lesson shifts now to housing. In 2017, California lawmakers were focused on bills to address the state's housing shortage. At that time, CAP Radio's podcast series, The View from Here, Place and Privilege, captured the work of four reporters who spent most of a year exploring various aspects of housing problems. In one episode titled Not Up to Code, former CAP Radio reporter Amy Quinton tracked her ride along with Sacramento County's code enforcement team.
I focus specifically on what are called problem properties. These are properties that have failed inspections twice in 1 year. It becomes a problem property. And they run the gamut in terms of what problems they are, but this is really something that drains the resources of code enforcement. They spend a large portion of their time dealing with these properties.
So offhand, I would think about cockroaches, water damage or mold, maybe garbage. Tell me more about the problems.
So there are five priority issues that they look at that they have to respond to in between 24 and 72 hours. One is a lack of heat. The other one is a lack of water. It has to have both hot and cold water. The other one is a lack of electricity. And surfacing sewage is the other issue. But they also have structural issues. If there's a safety issue, like a balcony collapsing, that they also have to respond to. Those are the big things that you see in some of these problem properties.
A lack of heat, for example, won't be so obvious. But you did ask the code enforcement officer that you rode along with what some of the worst of the worst is, some of what he saw. And let's listen just to a clip of your podcast episode.
Oh, I've seen massive infestations where bed bugs have literally taken over entire complexes, where kids are bit from head to toe just from bed bug bites alone. I've seen water leaks so bad where every room in an entire upstairs apartment complex is covered from wall to wall with mold, where I couldn't even go into the room because I couldn't breathe. It was so bad infested with mold. And here it is, we got children living in those areas for months at a time.
Now, these circumstances are horrendous. How rare is that in the county?
Unfortunately, it's not rare. It's surprising. But like I said, this is also the worst of the worst that I saw. But it's not rare. You get more common problems like some of the mold issues because some of these buildings are 50, 60, 70 years old. And if you don't keep up the maintenance, you're going to run into these problems.
But these problems aren't always in low rent places, are they?
No. In fact, most of them aren't. They're market rate apartments. And that was pretty surprising to me that someone can charge that much and still have these, basically, these living conditions that no one would really want to live in.
Let me give a fuller picture of your podcast. You went along with a man named Tim King and describe his job.
He is the senior code enforcement officer. So he leads a team of seven code enforcement officers that do the rental housing inspection program. They inspect the whole program, they inspect 50,000 properties, but the program's designed to get to all of them once every 5 years. That's how it's set up. A lot of property owners self-certify, and then the rental housing inspection program will audit those. I did a ride-along with Tim King looking at some of these properties and talking to him about some of the conditions that he sees.
So that's sort of a Golden Gate Bridge approach where they do the whole cycle and come back around. But you said that complaints that they investigate at least two times a year or more are subject to fines or penalties, I guess. Who's doing the reporting? How are they finding where to return?
Well, they get approximately 200 complaints a month, and they can come. They do often come from tenants, but they can also come from neighbors or nearby businesses, especially if you have a lot of crime going on in some of these apartment complexes. You know, a neighbor will call and complain about it. They also hear from property managers because it's the owner that is responsible for the problems. So sometimes they hear from property managers that just say, hey, this isn't being taken care of.
Amy, and what we heard earlier, though, the problems were going on for a long time. I mean, if bed bugs have taken over a complex
or children are living in a room that's been mold infested, at what point should a tenant make a report? And is fear a factor here in why it's not spoken about sooner?
Fear is definitely a factor. Even though the law says that a owner or a property manager cannot retaliate, they cannot kick you out because you've called code enforcement, they cannot raise your rent because you called code enforcement, there's still that fear that that will happen. And if you do end up, you can sue them for doing that. You can sue the property owner for doing that, but you obviously have to have a case. And, you know, that's a little intimidating for people.
Mm. And at what point can you file a complaint? Is there any kind of a time limitation or statute?
Well, before you file a complaint, Tim King says that you should always first contact the owner. And if you do call to complain, that's what they're going to tell you. Contact the owner. Give them a little bit of time, depending on what it is. If it's one of these issues where you have no heat and it's, you know, December or February, then they're going to respond immediately. But you should definitely tell the owner as soon as you can.
Tim King tells you this is dangerous business.
It is dangerous. And that was really surprising, too. He wears a bulletproof vest when he goes out on inspections. His entire team does, even though he drives a Prius. The whole inspection team drives a Prius. But they have to. They run into some really dangerous situations. Sometimes they're in a bad neighborhood where there might be drug violence going on. They just don't know. And this actually came about from an incident where an animal control officer, of all things, knocked on a door, and the guy that was behind the door just kind of freaked out, and she was shot. So they take this very seriously, and he has a law enforcement background.
Hmm. What about renovations or fixes to the complaints? Are they done? Does that happen? What's the follow-up?
They are done. They are required to be done. Now, you know, code enforcement works with property owners to get these things fixed. They will give them a plan. If a property owner, for example, can't afford to get them fixed, they will give them time to give them fixed. Sometimes they'll give them up to 5 years, depending on what it is. I mean, if it's something minor, if they have to replace all the windows, you know that's not going to take a day or two. So they do work with property owners to do that. But there's a series of enforcement actions that they can take. They can fine them. They can fine them several times, from $100, I think, to $1,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And they've been known to give fines of $30,000, depending on, you know, how long the problem has gone on.
I want to touch on something you and Tim King talked about, and that is that there are the worst of the worst properties, and sometimes they come up over and over again. And let's go back to a clip from the podcast where he describes yet some other circumstances that he's seen that are horrendous again.
Some of the, probably the worst cockroach infestations I've ever been in. Most of the flooring was moving when you'd walk in. So, I mean, it wasn't like you had one or two cockroaches. Like, the floor was literally moving. I've seen enough infestations and dealt with them that when you start seeing the little babies run around, means they're mating. And so when they're mating, they're multiplying at a very high pace rate. And when you see the babies that are rocking around, be mindful that these cockroaches are nocturnal creatures. So they only come out at night. So when you're in there during the daytime, and you see that many cockroaches, you can imagine how many actually come out at night.
Pretty horrific.
Yeah, and there must be relationships here. Code enforcement must know property owners, because sometimes they're dealing with them not just in 1 year, but multiple years, right?
They are, and some are very well known to code enforcement, some of the repeat offenders. Sometimes it's actually a situation where an investor has come in and bought a property, and it's changed hands so many times. They're buying a property they haven't seen, and there's many problems. So it's just a case of, well, I didn't know the property look like this. Outside investors that don't even live in the state, that can also be a problem. So it sort of runs the gamut.
It's one thing to do a story and say this problem exists and this is how bad it is. And honestly, some of the descriptions that Tim gives you in this story are pretty surprising, especially to the degree that they're out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen bad apartments before, but to hear him describe it and to hear how often it happens, I think it's just not known to a lot of people that these apartment complexes exist in such bad conditions, and that people are forced to live in these conditions. And some of it may be because they've had an eviction on their record for whatever reason. And, you know, some of these properties, they just won't do a background check on tenants. Tim King talked a lot about that. So they're stuck in these places sometimes.
But moving this forward, Amy, why is the code enforcement team only 7, for example? And if the problem is getting bigger, does the county need to throw more resources at code enforcement?
I don't know that the problem is getting bigger, but yeah, I'm surprised that there's 14 in the entire program, but others are doing audits. Others are doing registrations. All property owners have to register their property. But it does sound like such a small amount of employees doing such a big job. But that's the way the county set up the program.
That was former CAP Radio reporter Amy Quinton in the fall of 2017 as she was riding with Sacramento County's code enforcement team. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. We'll be right back.